It's all good. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You caught me off guard when you said there was going to be a statue of Gary in the triangle. I had to, yeah. You know.
See, he's been listening again, what? Gary.
That's right.
I've
yeah.
warned you about that.
Jeez. Man. Yeah, I didn't know that Incubus was considered vintage. Now they're vintage. That's good. They've achieved status.
No, see, I mean, maybe you could call them that. I think 25 years and you're an antique, right? But, see, that's a misconception here, Todd McGreevy. We're vintage radio because we run the radio station like people used to run radio stations back when it was cool. But
okay,
we'll
I
play.
Like that.
We reserve the right to play whatever the hell we want, new, old, or otherwise.
That's a great way to look at it. Love it. Including Waylon Jennings, which I love that as well. That
see, now, awesome. You and Pograki must have a connection. Now, he was telling me some stories about you and him and a card game, and he almost lost a finger. Can we talk about that on the air, or is that something we should probably just talk about off the air?
Yeah, that's something that Pirate Pete should probably tell you all about.
Oh!
He was at that game.
Pirate Peter was there, too?
Yeah, he was at that game. He's got some stories from that, absolutely.
He's trouble, man.
He is.
Speaking of stories, so I absolutely love your wife's story, Kathleen McCarthy's story, in the latest edition of the Reader, the February edition, number 994, coming up on 1,000, man.
I know. August will be our 1,000th issue. It's kind of a wild milestone. It's pretty interesting.
Did you ever think when you started this thing you'd get to 1,000?
I didn't think about it, no. That wasn't on the horizon. You know, the February issue's on the stands, and the headline is Test Positive for Freedom. You know, we're trying to break through this malaise that we're in with regards to just this onerous approach to how people take care of themselves, and it's time to get through this pandemic and move on. And the powers that be just won't let it go, it would seem. So, you know, Kathleen's piece is wherever there is risk, there must be choice, and it's a critical observation. You know, a lot of people want to say that, you know, we're anti-vax, if you will, and really what we are is anti-mandate, you know, anti-coercion, anti-false premises with regards to, you know, how can any one person that doesn't even know you and sit there from afar and claim they understand what's good for your body. You know, we're big property rights advocates, and, you know what's best for your body. You know what's best for your kids' bodies, not somebody from afar. So that's the overarching approach to our issue, if you will. And, you know, we have three sub-headlines on the cover. One is Journalism is Not a Crime Quite Yet. And this is one of your favorite people. It's about Julian Assange. There's no mention of the cat in the article, unfortunately.
And that's unfortunate, you know? Because that's really, it's not Assange so much. It's just a cat that wears neckties. My daughter, the Blonde Bomber, she loves to look up dog accessories and cat accessories because she's obsessed with animals on, like, what is it? Like Amazon or whatever, and then she'll like put all the stuff in the cart so she can show you, and then my wife's got to go through and like delete all the stuff out of the cart. But she found neckties for cats, and I was like, that's where they got those neckties. Yeah.
Well, have her talk to Gary, because I hear he's having some problems with his cats, so they should commiserate. But the Julian Assange piece, in all seriousness, is critical, because if he gets extradited and he gets silenced, and some of us would venture to say he gets killed, if you will, through this process. I mean, can't believe he's still alive, frankly, through all the stuff he's been through. Then journalism will be a crime. If whistleblowing will be a crime. Divulging information that the public needs to know will be a crime if he goes down. And he recently won the right to file for an appeal. Doesn't mean he'll get the appeal, but it was proven in a recent ruling there in the United Kingdom that he can actually appeal the most recent decision to allow him to be extradited to the United States. And for those that aren't familiar with him, I mean, he's the founder of WikiLeaks, a seminal a website where all the major media, Washington Post, New York Times, you know, Telegraph, Herald, everybody used all of the leaks in there to write stories about everything under the sun with regards from, you know, Panama leaks to what was happening in Iraq to, you know, what's happening with foreign embassies and so forth. And when, you know, and give themselves all kinds of, you know, pats on the back and prizes for journalistic integrity and, muckraking and so forth. And then after he gets arrested, you know, they go silent. So it's quite a tragic story in our view, and we want to keep reminding people about him, because as Assange goes, will go the fourth estate in our view. So that's in the reader. You can check that out as well. You know, we've Kathleen's piece, which I appreciate you commenting about, where there's risk, there's supposed to be choice. And I don't write that often, but I wrote a piece called Questions for Local Hospital CEOs and Medical Directors. And it was instigated, if you will, or inspired, if you will, by a December 15th news conference that happened last December. And if you go to our website and you go to the article, you can actually watch the whole news conference. And it was like a call to arms, if you will, by the local Scott and Rock Island County health officials, the two hospital local hospitals, and they had the medical directors on there and so forth. And it was effectively, you know, in fact, I wrote it. I just re-listened to the opening of it, and the opening of it was one from one of the Rock Island County health officials saying that 60% of the people 5+ years old in the Quad Cities are vaccinated. But what that means, it was very grim. This means that 40% of those eligible to be vaccinated have not stepped into the light to end the pandemic. I mean, they painted this picture of fear and scarcity that was really quite palpable. And it was like, wow, they're ramping up here. They're ramping up to, they're creating an environment of fear with this. And that whenever that happens, my radar goes up. So for those that don't know, you know, if you go to the county website, Scott County website, there's a link to them at our story on our website. You can find all of these news conferences, and invariably they will allow questions in the chat room. And so what the gist of this whole news conference was that our hospitals are filling up, we're out of beds, critical care, ICU is all full. We're, you know, it's very dire, and it's because not enough people are getting the jab, you know. And it was like, how are they counting these unvaccinated? What is the, as you know, the devil's in the details. So I tried to ask a question about that, and I got a partial answer. It wasn't a real answer. They didn't allow time for follow-up questions. They cut the news conference off, you know, 35 minutes early.
Well, they saw you were there. That guy's listening in his ear. He's like, is that Todd McGreevy? All right, press conference is over.
Yeah.
They
fielded questions from our local, you know, public radio that went like this. And by the way, I happen to copy and paste all the questions in the chat room, and they're published at the website. They're not in print, but they're at the website version. And you can see which local, so-called reporters asked which questions. And one of them asked, what are the hospitals and public health departments doing to reach people who have not been vaccinated? Are you trying to identify who the vaccinated are and exploring how to reach them and influence them to get vaccinated? Now, why would a local public radio reporter have such authority of why people, what we should do with our bodies? Well, where is that kind of questioning coming from? It just boggles the mind that the level of the journalistic curiosity, as I wrote, it was missing. It was just, it left the room. There was no actual questioning of their statistics, how they came up with their stats. So what we did, Aaron, here in the February issue is we published, you know, a lot of questions. And they include, you know, big picture metrics like, you know, how many beds did you have prior to the pandemic? How many ICUs did you have prior to the pandemic? How many staffers did you have prior versus how many you have now? Because those are the details that count and argue. And that question has never been asked or answered locally here in the Quad Cities. We hope we get an answer to that.
I can tell you just from reporting on all this stuff for the last 2 years that the number of ICU beds shrunk. From what it was, say, a year and a half, it's slowly gotten smaller, I believe, because of staffing, because they don't have the people to cover and have as many beds as they did previously. At least that's what we saw in the numbers. The number of ICU beds in general, say there's no one sick and you just have empty beds everywhere, it got smaller as time went on. And, you know, that's, I don't know, it's a whole big conglomerate of crap.
And therein lies the follow-up question that should come. They reduce the beds because they don't have the staff. And why don't you have the staff again? Oh, because of your vaccine mandate. Because people left the job. That's our view of what it is. We want that straight answer from these folks.
Well, and
they're not obligated. They're not obligated to answer our questions. You know, they're a private organization. You know, there's no. But when you sidle up with the county health officials like they did, who are accountable to the public because they are funded by our tax dollars, you start getting a little different zone here, you know. Right after this presser, they call it, this news presser happened, like clockwork, out comes an email blast from the Quad Cities Chamber of Commerce, you know, just heralding the same exact talking points, and we're all going to die, and everybody has to get vaccinated. And then shortly thereafter, there was a print campaign and a digital advertising campaign with all of the CEOs of the hospitals and medical directors and the county health officials signing their name with the doctor. I mean, you could see the ad at our website. And say, you know, we're very worried. You know, we need you to get vaccinated. Almost all of our COVID-19 inpatients are unvaccinated. Again, with the memes. Again, with the fear mongering, and it without context in our view. So this was a concentrated effort to ramp up. And we're scratching our head, going, why do you care? It's a 0.03% chance of dying from this. You know, and of course the mantra is, if you don't get the vaccination, you run a bigger risk of dying and being hospitalized. And we're just not seeing those results like that. And I'll just real quickly go through the headers here, Aaron, of what we asked. We talked about further defining the unvaccinated. We asked questions about testing and protocols. We think that's a critical discussion point. We talked about the healthcare staffing questions. We asked about vaccination versus early treatment. We asked about primary care. Think about it. When you have a primary care doctor and you go into the hospital, that primary care doctor, in our view, in our experience, what we've talked to people about is that the primary care directive goes away. You are now in control of what that hospital administration wants to do, not what your primary care provider wants to do. We asked questions about remdesivir and ventilators, and we asked one more time, why should kids get vaccinated? We asked a bunch of questions about that. So that's all inside this issue.
There's a lot in here. We're talking to Todd McGreevy from River Cities Reader. Of course, you can go to rcreader.com and check them out online as well. And you know what? I've ruffled some feathers lately on the show, and I only know because people send me hate emails. I bet you get some of those too. They're mad because the recent thing I said, you know, the border blockade that was going on with the truckers. I'm like, you know, at this point, do we really care? They don't come in contact with a ton of people. People got really mad. And so what I have found, and I found some solace in your wife's story in this edition. Number one, I love that she says, what a load of hooey, twice in the story. I appreciate that. But she talks about how they have set it up so divided between being a D or an R, a Democrat or a Republican, and that's how we're supposed to act, and that's what we're supposed to follow. And I probably lean right on a lot of stuff, but I also lean left on a few things. And I reserve the right to have my opinion and to share it as I see fit, not according to any party platform, any crap like that. And I got a funny one for you, Todd McGreevy. I had somebody send me an email mad at me, blah, 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 you know, you should get vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. And I am vaccinated, actually. My wife was in the medical field. She had to get vaccinated. So I told, and I normally don't get flu shots or anything, but I said, well, if you're going to grow a tail, I'm going to grow a tail. So we both got it. And I was fine with that. You know what I mean? And I'm fine with that. And plus that prevented me from having to worry about shutting down here. You know what I mean? Or anything like that. So to me, that made sense. And that was fine. Now, I never got a booster or anything like that. But so anyway, someone sends me this email, you know, you're a stupid Trumper, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, to be honest, my opinion actually is that I don't think former President Trump should rerun because I don't think he'll get reelected. He should stand behind somebody else and let them take it from here. But that's just my opinion, you know, because I don't see him winning. But on the same day, I had someone send me an email calling me a liberal, blah, 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 because of some other opinion I had something else. The same day, I'm getting accused of being both sides. So I must be doing something right, wrong, or otherwise.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly right. You're right over the target when you're making both sides of the bifurcated, you know, didactic, you know, mad at you. I love it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to think. I'm just saying what I think and what it seems like to me. And Gary's good at helping me pilfer through the smoke and mirrors and all that stuff. And he's got the same, you know, the same kind of a mindset.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're independent. You're self-determinant. You know, self-determination isn't for everybody. It's very obvious. You know, what the comment you made about you went ahead and got it, to, you know, in solidarity with your wife, I think, is very cool. And a lot of people are that's leaning towards the discussion point of they're getting the shot not for health reasons, but in order to comply. You know, there was an image in Cook County I saw online a few months ago where they had a whiteboard, and it was a clinic where the kids were coming in and getting the jab, and they literally have pictures of kids with a whiteboard that says, I got my back shot because, and they write in why they got it. And they give them a bag of fries after they get their shot. And the kid wrote on there, so I can go to sleepovers. You know, yeah. And that was just so sad to see that. It wasn't because it was healthy or because it's going to, you know, help me with my health. Or it was too. I did it so I could comply and live my life, and that to me is the biggest travesty going on.
Yeah.
So if this thing is such a wonderful thing, why can't we get the? Why is it going to take 70? If Kathleen writes about, why is it going to take 75 years to release the full documentation of the trial data? You know, and then this is just esoteric, and people, their eyes are glazing because there's so many details. But even, I don't know if you knew this, guys, but when they did the trials for the mRNA shot, they had a placebo, you know, a control group that didn't get it. And after they were told they were given the shot, and it wasn't the shot, they went ahead and gave them the shot and vaccinated them, ruining the control group.
Well,
that's just a 101. That's just 101. You don't do that if you're trying to actually.
Uh-oh. I think the feds got him, Gary. Todd?
We seem to make people mad.
I know, right? Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Have you been? Are someone trying to arrest you right now? I don't know what's going on. We haven't had a great connection the whole time. Hey! Are you there?
You there? Yes.
What happened, man? We still don't have a good reception.
Yeah, we still don't.
All right. Well, there's Todd McGreevy, River City's Reader. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. And again, make sure you check out the Reader. You can go to rcreader.com, get everything online. This guy is wicked intense, informed, and happy to share all the time. We love having him on the show.